Market View on Money FM 89.3.
Well, Amundi is one of the investment houses keeping the faith with emerging markets this year in terms of finding opportunities. However, as we know, the emerging market space is a broad and diverse one that differs from region to region, even from country to country. And also the question as to how to navigate and look for opportunities in this broad investment space. Well, today on Money FM 89.3, we are joined by Mr. Jovan Teo. He's the head of Asian fixed income at Amundi, and he's here to outline the house, their case as to why emerging markets still seems to be a place with some promise and potential for 2021. Mr. Teo, thank you so much for joining us today. Glad to hear you and your loved ones are still in good health and safe in these times. And happy Year of the Ox.
Thank you, JP. Thanks for having us.
All right. So, Mr. Teo, before we start, I'd like to ask you to lay out Amundi's case for why Amundi is still upbeat about the emerging market space. What is underpinning the optimistic thesis for emerging markets and opportunities in 2021?
So as a house, we are still constructive on emerging market assets. Global investors, as we know, they are facing two key challenges last year, this year, and going forward. The first challenge, of course, would be to find a decent enough yield, especially in a world of lower interest rates, and also to get some exposure to growth at a fairly reasonable price. We believe that emerging market assets still continue to give investors really good opportunities in addressing both of these challenges. I mean, if you look at liquidity right now is still relatively ample and the technical backdrop is supportive. We also expect global and particularly emerging markets growth momentum to pick up in 2021. I mean, if you look at corporate earnings in emerging markets, starting from third quarter of last year, it's already starting to turn the corner. So finally, we expect to see also rebounds in certain sectors which were negatively affected by COVID, just broadly speaking. So this should also result in an improvement in overall credit metrics.
Now, Mr. Teo, I'd like to elaborate or take a deeper dive into how to identify opportunities in the emerging market space, because as you know, it's a very diverse space also. And Amundi itself has also indicated the recovery might be rather uneven, partly due to how different some emerging markets are to each other and also how different each one has reacted and been impacted by the COVID-19 pandemic. How can investors use this diverse and uneven backdrop for emerging markets to make better decisions when looking for opportunities in the emerging markets? Where is Amundi finding more of these pockets in this vast and very diverse asset space?
Hi, JP. You're absolutely right. Each emerging market country, as we know, has very different drivers, very different monetary and fiscal policies, and of course, very different political landscapes. This is a world where global trade is starting to retreat. So domestic growth drivers have been and will become a lot more important going forward. As you correctly mentioned, differentiation is definitely key. We are still relatively positive, again, on countries with good cyclical growth. We are still conscious on valuation. And again, as we know, the rebound would be uneven. We could continue to be in a phase of a stop and go. So depending on the speed of vaccine rollouts, depending on the evolution of the virus, if we have some countries with a slower vaccination process, then that could cap a little bit of this cyclical rebound in some countries in the short term. Within Asia, of course, we are still very positive on countries which will benefit from capital inflows. China is one. Local bonds, of course, would continue and should continue to be supported by overall index inclusion globally. We also do have a preference for some higher yielding countries over lower yielding countries. So countries such as Indonesia with higher real rates continue to be attractive.
Mm-hmm. Let's take a look at China in greater depth, Mr. Teo. And, since the tail end of 2020, China seems to have taken a diverging stance from other monetary policymakers, and they've hinted at the gradual tightening of their monetary policy out there. We've seen short-term rates rising the last few weeks leading up to the Lunar New Year. And specifically for you, since you do head Asian fixed income at Amundi, how might this impact the outlook for Chinese debt, both from the sovereign and corporate space? And do you think this will and how is this influencing Amundi's outlook as to which sectors within China to value in terms of picking opportunities in the fixed income space?
Sure. So broadly speaking, we are still positive on China. China would be the main driver of both regional and, of course, global growth this year. And production has been expanding above trend, and we expect exports to stay strong as well, at least into the first half of the year. Also, given as the private sector starts to gain momentum in terms of its recovery, we expect funding support for public investments to gradually be dialed back a little, so bond supply could decrease this year. One of the possible benefits as well is potentially a less aggressive attitude towards China from the new U.S. administration. So we could still see a tough stance, but a less aggressive one. As you correctly pointed out, there was sort of an unexpected liquidity tightening ahead of the Lunar New Year. So this suggests to us that there could be some onshore concerns over asset bubbles, and this could potentially outweigh the risk of economic recovery. But we still expect the pace of adjustment, if any, to be very, very gradual. Onshore authorities are likely to avoid any accidental over-tightening. We think overall policy rates should still be reasonably stable. Leverage should still be reasonably stable. And that's something which we continue to expect for the rest of the year. Good that you bring up as well in terms of which sectors that we like. Broadly speaking, again, we still see a lot of value in the Chinese real estate sector. As we know, the coronavirus has been controlled and business operations continue to gradually turn back to normal. A lot of Chinese property companies have reported their full year 2020 numbers in terms of the sales figures. Most of them have achieved their sales targets. Of course, from Chinese New Year last year, which was a year ago, initially their sales situation was impacted, but as we know, the situation has improved rapidly. We saw a big recovery in property sales. So what this means for Chinese property companies is that these companies have a sufficient amount of liquidity. Of course, we would continue to prefer companies with, or rather to invest in companies with good access to financing channels, good access to the overall capital markets. And finally, the overall property sector in China continues to be supported by reasonably benign, stable and supportive policies, and the technical support should continue to give this sector further upside this year.
Mr. Teo, are you worried at all about the high rates of deleveraging and also the growing number of defaults or missed debt obligations from some of the real estate developers in China? You seem to have a positive stance on this, but is this something that perhaps worries you or maybe tempers your outlook on the property space out there? I mean, for some, it might seem a bit worrisome. Do you share the same level of concern that some in the markets do?
So there's been some new restrictions, of course, from onshore authorities. This would further control the leverage of some of these developers. From a medium-term standpoint, it's positive that the government is restricting this leverage. It would stimulate the developers to reduce leverage. It's something which would be positive in the medium term.
Okay. Now, we're speaking to Mr. Jovan Teo, the head of Asian Fixed Income at Amundi. Mr. Teo, in the ASEAN space, when I was looking at Amundi's report, he seemed fairly lukewarm on the Southeast Asian region, with the exception of two countries that you rated positive, which is Indonesia and Vietnam. Can you talk to us about what sets them apart from the rest of the region in Amundi's eyes?
Thank you. So on Indonesia, we've been positive and we continue to be positive on Indonesia. Definitely would benefit from some structural tailwinds as the omnibus law continues to be finalized and implemented. We expect a relatively quicker economic rebound as well post-COVID. very good cyclical rebound. In addition, you have, of course, commodity prices, which are stable to rising, you know, volumes are increasing, improving external balances, and inflation is very well controlled. So that's something which we like, and we continue to express a positive view on Indonesia. Good that we bring up Vietnam as well. Vietnam is one of the countries in the region which has handled COVID reasonably well, exceptionally well, and its growth outlook continues to lead the pack here in Asia. Definitely, it's a developing regional hub from a supply chain standpoint. We expect a lot of continued significant investment, both from a public standpoint and also an increase in FDI. I mean, the sectors which we like in Vietnam would continue to be manufacturing, service sector as well, and the domestic consumption sector continues to be resilient.
And very quickly, Mr. Cho, before we let you go, I want to ask you, we've talked about opportunities that Amundi is seeing in the emerging market space. What do you think is the biggest risk now to Amundi's outlook for emerging markets? What might throw a wrench into the rosy forecast, at least, from Amundi?
So there are two things which I think investors should pay closer attention to. The first risk, of course, would be related to COVID. We are not out of COVID yet. There could be delays in terms of vaccination rollouts across emerging markets countries. There could be threat of COVID-19 mutations. That's something which would continue to temper market expectations of an extremely quick and rapid recovery. And if you get any negative news on delays in rollouts of vaccines, other delays in terms of supply or potentially issues with vaccines and dealing with mutant strains, then that could impact near-term sentiment. One final thing, of course, to watch out for would be inflation. The markets in general, of course, would be quite fearful of inflation globally. Not a base case scenario for now. We are still seeing global growth, still a large output gap. Unemployment is still coming down, but still reasonably high. So this should continue to prevent inflation from running ahead. So that's something which we continue to monitor closely.
Mr. Jovan Teo, Head of Asian Fixed Income at Amundi, thank you so much for spending some time with us today on Monday FM 89.3 to share your investment group's outlook for the emerging market space, particularly in the fixed income sector. As always, I wish you and your loved ones continued health and safety as we head deeper into the year of the ox, and a pleasant week ahead, sir. Thank you so much for joining us, and good afternoon.
Thank you so much, JP.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg. or download the SPH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.